and welcome everyone to the Peaceful Planet Show. This is your host, Marcia McMahon, coming to you today on this beautiful Saturday. And I hope you're having a great day. We have a great show lined up for you, and we hope you stay tuned. You were listening to our extraordinary music that is being channeled by Bob Murray at www, The Stars Still Shine, and you were listening to Peaceful Planet Mix, which was actually initially recorded by Bob as a synthesized file, and then the lyrics were written by myself. These songs are inspired by George Harrison and John Lennon, and you were listening to a work by Lennon, The Peaceful Planet, which our show is named after, and he continues to inspire our work on this program. So we're very honored to feature Bob's work and, of course, those who stand by in spirit. So our show today is all about working with spirit, and we have a wonderful guest, John Sullivan, who is a spiritualist minister. And I have been on his show, and he has witnessed some phenomenon that he is going to share with us in a little while. Before we get to John and his background and bio and everything, I have a few announcements at the start of the show. I want to let all of you listeners know out there that if you are not signed up on my radio show update list, you can sign up for that, and you can also receive a free newsletter called the Peaceful Planet News, and that will comprise, I sent the first edition out yesterday in the email, and it is a newsletter based on my messages and work with the Ascended Masters and Guides and the Angels, and there's a variety of messages there from different Ascended Masters, and we have now are featuring both the Eastern and Western Masters. If you'd like to be added to that list, send me an email at marciadye@charter.net. And again, that's marciadye@charter.net. That's the easiest way to pronounce my name spelling-wise, so it's phonetically sounded out for you. So anyway, I have a few other things that I'm working on. As many of you know, I'm an artist, and I do inspired watercolors of Princess Diana and John Lennon and others. And between now and the Christmas holiday, I am going to be doing some inspired portraits, and you can commission me to do that if you go to the gallery on my homepage, and then you press onto the link that says Gallery Index. You will find information about signing up for portraits, and you can also view the 6 or 8 galleries that I have online of my watercolors. And also, I want to mention one other really exciting thing that's coming up this winter. If you are into world travel and would like to experience the spiritual odyssey that is available in ancient Greece, you can connect to the gods and goddess within and also connect to the heart of Western civilization and the great legacy of the Greeks. We're planning a visit to Greece with Body, Mind, Spirit Journeys, and they have asked me to, again, accompany them. And this is in February, and the rates are really reasonable. It's an all-inclusive one-week trip to the ancient sites of the Acropolis, Delphi, where the ancient oracle sat, and read fortunes for all the great people in the ancient times. And I have even, on occasion, channeled Athena, the goddess Athena. So I will be doing some channeling as well as bringing in my great knowledge of art history and doing some sketching. So if that sounds interesting to you, I would like you to connect with me to be added to an email list and also to visit the website bodymindspiritjourneys.com. Again, my email is marciadye@charter.net. Please feel free to send along an email to me, and I will send you updates as things progress on the trip to Greece in February. It's actually dated February 17th through 24th. And if you are a person exploring your spirituality and love world travel, this will be the trip for you. So thank you for listening to my announcements, John. It's wonderful to have you on the Peaceful Planet, finally.
Well, it's nice to be here, Marcia.
Yes. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of background about John. John hosts each Sunday morning from 8:30 a.m. and again at 9:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WARE Real Oldies Radio 1250, and that's in the East Coast section of the world. You are from what state again, John?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, and you do a wonderful program, BeyondLife.net, and you talk about all the different phenomenon that you've witnessed in the spiritualist church, and you bring on mediums, psychics, healers, clergy, paranormal investigation, and EVP or electronic voice phenomena. So I know that you have an awful lot to share with us today, and that our audience is tuned in to spirit, and most of us are open to this kind of work. And I myself attend a spiritualist church on occasion and enjoy it very much. And some of the things you're going to be talking about today deal with the phenomenon of spiritualism, and there are many manifestations of spirit. And so we just enjoy looking forward to hearing some of the extraordinary experiences that you can share with us and your audience, John.
Well, I'd like to be able to do that with us.
Yeah, yeah. And I do encourage our listeners as well to hear your show. You're going to be airing this Sunday, I assume, correct?
Yes, ma'am. The one thing that you failed to mention was they can get it at www.realoldies1250.com if they want to listen to it live.
Oh,
but what's more important than that, they can go to the website, and I put up the programs for at least 2 months. And in other words, this month and last month are up there now. And that's at beyondlife.net. And they
I did get that one, but I didn't get the other, but I would have mentioned it sometime during the course of our talk. But thank you for mentioning that. So where do we begin with spirit? You know, spirit is so vast.
Well, I think where we begin is usually at the beginning.
We're at the beginning.
Okay.
When you work with spirit, how does spirit manifest for you as a spiritualist minister? What kinds of things go on during your services?
Well, mainly we do a clairvoyant reading. We have different guest workers each week, and they would do two parts. First, they do a sharing, which is a little, some people call it lecture. We actually call it sharing. And then the second part that they would be involved in is, of course, the communication with the spirit loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part that does not take care of that particular worker is laying on a hands healing, which basically is, in fact, spirit work, but it's usually got the third party involved.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I have found over the period of time is that once people immerse themselves into the service, now, unfortunately, too many new people come to a spiritual service expecting that, here I am, do something for me. And one of the things that they need to understand is they need to communicate. And the way to do that basically is to step out the week prior to going to a service and start sending out your thoughts to your guides, your loved ones, and do a serious approach to this so that they will not have a problem when they get to that service. In other words, their guides and teachers will know that this is what I'm requesting, and this is what I'd like some help on. Very simply put, but sometimes what's simple is very easy, and people forget.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good point, and I do agree that whenever I receive messages, I have to actually put out my questions out there and sit in the silence and wait for the answers to come to me. And as you know, I channel my messages, but basically it's the same mental apparatus that's working there. You're getting a message from the beyond in whatever form you want to put it.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about, I think a lot of people are probably familiar with getting spirit messages and that sort of thing. But I do agree that as you begin to open up to spirit, you should also learn more about how to actually connect with spirit. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because a lot of people think that it can only be done by certain people and other people don't have the gift, when I believe that most people do, in fact, have the gift. They just need to spend the time to develop it.
That is true. But the other side of the coin is, in today's society, too many people are looking for instant success, and they don't want to take the time or put the energy into developing themselves.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there, and that's good. And, you know, I've seen it before at churches where the minister does, our ministers do wonderful readings. I belong to a small spiritualist church here in Illinois, and they are so gifted, but I've noticed lately that they're kind of at the end point with it, where one will, well, it's a husband and wife team, so luckily one will back up the other, but, you know, it is very exhausting to get up there and do a half an hour or an hour of readings for people and get it, hit it right on the nail each and every time. And it takes a great deal of a skill and effort, I think, as well as the gift of mediumship, you know. And I usually go for the services that they have with the all-message services and, you know, do my own readings for people standing up in front of the congregation and just reading. But I can tell you, I probably can't get everybody in the whole place. So it really takes a lot of effort, and it can burn out the minister.
Well, you know, we don't differ on that one, and I'll tell you why. I find that after a session, for instance, whether it be a church service or readings, which normally take anywhere between 20 and 30 minutes, and that's the extent of it. In other words, we don't read everyone in the church. The second thing is I find that once I'm through, I'm so energized, it really doesn't take anything from me. But if I had to lay down and go to sleep, I'd be in trouble because I'd be wired.
Well, you know, I do a spiritual study group in my home, and I did some work with Spirit last night with the group, and a few of us were receiving messages from the Ascended Masters, and I was so energized and felt so wonderful because they did a healing on us too. And I can completely concur with what you're saying, but this is something I noticed just with our particular group, that our particular minister tends to get very exhausted. And I kind of feel sorry for him because, like you were saying, people kind of rely on others to kind of do the work, you know. But it's not set up for anyone else to come in and read unless it's an all-message service. So tell us a little bit more, develop it a little bit, if you could, and go into some of the extraordinary things that maybe you were wanting to share with us about things you've witnessed over the years and some of the practices. I know we were going to talk about some of the other things that they do in seance and that kind of thing.
Well, one of the things I think that's interesting to allow people to realize that, you know, we're all human and we all have these capabilities is that I was really never a serious, you know, I wasn't born with the veil. I wasn't one who ever thought of being clairvoyant. And fact of the matter is, after I left my home and went on into the work world, I basically gave up church entirely. And having been brought up Catholic, it was not hard to do. But what I found also was at one point I bought a house. And when I bought this house, it was an antique cape, but the circumstances were the individual who was there had killed himself by jumping into the pool with some cement blocks around her neck. And as far as I was concerned from my background, hey, this is great. I got a great deal, and, you know, she's gone to wherever, and I'm happy. Well, it wasn't that happy. Mm-hmm. The first thing we noticed was there was a constant pacing from someone on the second floor. Now, you can attribute this to all kinds of movement in the house.
An
you
older
can attribute
house,
it to the wind,
creaks, et cetera, yeah.
Yeah, but unfortunately, people would come into the house, and they would respond to the fact there was a pacing upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I used to have this open joke, there's $100 if you can find out who's pacing around. And, of course, it didn't occur. But my daughter was coming through puberty at the time, and one thing we noticed is she would wake up and scream and describe this woman. And, you know, we thought at first all the normal things, the things she's eaten, TV programs, what's going on in the kid's life, until one night. She screamed, and I'd run into her bedroom, and I said, Lee, what's wrong? And she said to me, Dad, look at her. She's going through the door. Well, in this height of emotion, you never take the time to realize the door she's pointing to has a little dressing vanity in front of it and goes into the hallway. So I just ran into the hallway with another door and started for the stairs and watched the footsteps in the carpet all the way up the stairs. And then I knew something had occurred. Didn't know what, but I knew something had occurred.
Okay, so you're saying that you saw some footprints on the carpeting?
I saw the footsteps go up the carpet, all the way up the stairs.
Oh, okay, so you saw the imprint in the...
Yes, I did.
Wow, okay, interesting.
And I knew at this point that, hey, we've got a real-life ghost here, to say the least.
Yeah.
But, again,
mm-hmm.
didn't know much about it.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, you know, I started to read everything I could, pro, con, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally went to one of my first spiritualist services.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't saying, I really wasn't thrilled. I guess I expected more from it. I didn't realize that I had to put something into it. And consequently went away with a thought, you know, this may not be for me. Well, I checked a couple other churches, and then one fine day, I happened to be at a place, and the woman came through to me and brought a lady who was my grandmother from across the water, she said.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
She described things that no one else could have known.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized at that point, my God, she is touching my grandmother.
Yeah.
And what was very interesting was the fact that she had said also that I was angry at the time. I was angry about a couple things that on a regular workaday world. And she said, you know, stop being angry, start singing. She cocked her head and said, oh, I didn't know that. And she says, your mother sent you to school for music, for vocal. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I mean, that couldn't be a shot in the dark.
Yeah,
so at that point in time, you say to yourself, I guess I'm getting into trouble here real quick. So then I started to really look in earnest and see what it was. At that point in time, I had heard about a camp up in New York, Lilydale. And I went up there, and I spent a couple days. And it was interesting because, you know, having read the book, The Psychic Mafia, I decided we're going to do this on a real scientific basis. So I left my vehicle outside the gate. I went in and registered at the Inner Hotel as John Sullivan from Boston. Well, if you look in the Boston phone books, you'd be hard-pressed if you didn't find a couple pages.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I'm safe here because nobody would know. Went to the cafeteria, spoke to no one, and went over to what you call an all-message service. And as I walked in the big auditorium, I sat way up and back, and I was listening to the lady who was doing the readings. Finally, when she got through with the woman she was with, she said to me, sir, she said, you, the gentleman in the back, would you come down front, please? And I'm looking around. Of course, it was me she was speaking of.
Yeah.
So I went down to the front, and she said to me, you know, when you came in the door, there's a gentleman who came in the door with you. He had on a uniform of a trainman or a conductor. And she says, he tells me his name is Frank. He tells me he's your father. Do you understand? Well, I never knew my dad.
Wow.
And he was a railroad conductor.
Wow.
And here, lo and behold, he's come in. And at this point started my real earnest search for what the spiritual world was all about.
Well, isn't that a wonderful introduction? You know, I think I may have shared my first introduction to the Spiritualist Church, too. And I'll share it briefly here, just for the sake of corroboration here, because I had been working with Princess Diana. She came to me with her messages, and I had been working and compiling a book, and I was about to publish a book, and I thought, you know, I need some other sources to confirm that this is really Princess Diana that I'm working with here, and I wonder, you know, it wasn't like I doubted my work. I had other friends on the internet that were very enthusiastic about my messages from her, but I thought, you know, I just got to find out more. So I looked up spiritualism on the internet and found a church fairly close by, and I planned to visit there. And when I began driving there, it was just all completely on a lark, and I didn't know where I was going. I did a map quest, but that did no good once I found the town of Leroy, Illinois. I was driving all over the place, could not locate the church, and I asked a guy at the gas station, can you help me find it? Well, yes, he would help me. He had never heard of it, you know, because it's not a well-attended church here in the Midwest. It's not a very big thing. You know, this is not a New Age, New Thought kind of place. So anyway, we finally made it there, and I didn't get there till message service, and I happened to walk in very late, but I came in just in time, and this guy that was doing the readings, his name was Patrick Hastings, and he is a very renowned psychic reader. And he came directly to me and he said, you are surrounded by spirit. I see Princess Diana standing to your left, and I see Mother Teresa, a nun. Looks like a nun with a blue and white habit. Would that be Mother Teresa? And I said, yeah, that's her. And by then I had been working with Mother Teresa and Princess Diana on this book, and I was just floored. And my husband, who didn't believe in any of this, was looking at me, you know. Not that it ever convinced it, because you either believe or you don't, you know. But it was total confirmation. And then, lo and behold, the reader that day, Patrick, said, and furthermore, he said, I know that it's Princess Diana because I was her reader in life. And that just did it for me. I mean, the goosebumps and everything. So we did a seance afterwards, and that was my introduction to seances, too. So that was my first visit to the Spiritualist Church. And, you know, I know what goes on there is real. So I want to recommend this to anyone out there who's just learning about spirit and wants to know more, to look this up in your area. There is a directory of Spiritualist Churches online, too, as well. Is there not, John?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So go ahead then and share some other experiences of phenomena. I know you're big in investigating various types of phenomena.
Yes, we've done this is a lady by the name of Patty Ball, and I, she's a scientist. And when we go out, she goes out as the straight scientist. I go out as the clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do our part, and then we come back and sit down and go over what we're doing. So it was interesting when we first went out to a particular place to really, how should you say, capture EVP, electronic voice phenomena?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you're saying to yourself, how does one capture that?
Yeah, really.
And we had gone in with our tapes, and we'd gone in with our video equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there at the table, and the first thing I do is I try to get familiar with the person that called us in. And I had said to the lady, I told her about the loved ones that were there. Unlike yourself, I deal mostly with their loved ones, their guides, mainly the loved ones from the spirit side of life.
Yeah.
And so we were talking. I brought in, I can't remember now for sure, but we'll say her mother, or grandfather, or whoever the case may be. And the energy that was in the house did not seem to be prevalent as I was speaking with her. Well, Patty, on the other hand, had gone into the room where most of this had taken place, and this lady's brother lived there. And the problem that we found with the brother was that he was fine. As soon as he came in and sat in the bedroom, he had a problem. He would get either very upset and angry, or he would get depressed.
Hmm.
And yet, if he wasn't in the bedroom, most of the other part of the house, outside with his friends, no problem. Never had any trouble at school, never got into any problems. So this wasn't a split personality or anything like this. In the course of the evening, Patty said to me, would you come down the cellar? And I said, sure. I didn't want to go down the cellar for whatever reason, and I'm not afraid of cellars. I don't know why, I just didn't want to go down the cellar. And so one thing led to another. I went down the cellar, and I could hear various machines being started and stopped. And I couldn't understand what they were at first. But then the more I thought of it as a woodworker, I said, that sounds like the old wood lathes or metal lathes being turned on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned this to Patty, and she said, I don't know. She said, I don't know. Well, of course, we're having recorders down there. Well, now you take all your evening, you bring it home, you run it through an audio program, and you listen to it. Several things we found. First of all, Patty found, even with the camera, with the video, actually it wasn't video, it was still pictures, in the bedroom where the boy had the problem, there was a line of energy when her husband took a picture of her that came down from the ceiling across her and down the floor. So we take a picture of each wall as we go in.
Mm-hmm.
The second set of pictures showed a whole bunch of ectoplasm crawling up the wall and up the Venetian blind.
Oh, my God.
At this point, you say to yourself, hello, we have someone here.
Now, how do you get the ectoplasm to show on a photograph? I've never really seen that.
It's as white as a smoke cloud.
Oh, I see. So it, when you take the picture, you don't really see it in
light? No.
But it shows up on the photograph.
Yes, it does.
Wow, how interesting.
Yes.
You know, come to think of it, I have seen those old photographs when they first got into spiritualism of,
right.
You know, people in costumes, or not costumes, but the dress of the time, 1860s, 70s, men,
right.
With this white stuff coming out of their mouth. But
yes, that would be the ectoplasm. It comes out all the orifice of the mouth. But
oh.
We were concerned with the fact that it was in the room.
Yeah.
And there was no other human being in the room.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So,
like, what did you do for this person? Did you get rid of this ghost presence for them, or how did
actually,
you
know? Actually, no. We found several things that night. First of all, on the replay of the audio, there was a little girl who kept on talking about, where's the cat? Where's the cat? Now, EVP will come in short clips mainly.
Yeah.
A couple words, three words, four words, five words. That's about it. And that was fairly clear. And then there was a gentleman's voice behind it who says, where's the damn cat? And you could tell the difference in the two voices. I mean, they were absolutely different.
Uh-huh. Now, is that the tape that you were wanting to maybe share with our listeners?
The one I'm going to share with listeners is at a trumpet seance.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
This is really spirit talking to someone.
Oh, okay. Wow. Can't wait
and,
to hear that.
The other thing that I found was we heard these gong sounds. And they were different octaves in the gongs. There were three different gongs.
Mm-hmm.
And it would come as a gong. And then it would come as a higher pitch than the higher pitch. And we couldn't understand where they would come from or why. And this was coming in the basement. So Patty contacted a friend of hers who's a scientist out in the Midwest. And he said to her, this is infrasound. And many years ago, the government had sent waves underground. I guess there was a problem during the Cold War in both Russia and we were doing it. And it gives a person a kind of disassociation of who they are and what they are. And we have these gong sounds on the tape. Now, they are below your hearing level, but
oh,
they're
wow.
crystal clear when you bring them through the audio program.
And they're not
nothing to do with spirit.
Like extremely low frequency.
Yes, they are.
They are extremely low frequency.
I wonder if that's the same thing.
Okay, they're extremely low frequency, like what they use in the HAARP program.
In the which program?
The HAARP program, H-A-A-R-P.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It's a government program
right.
that everybody has questions about.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got these sounds.
Okay.
And we did get a little EVP there that mm-hmm. night. A couple of things were very, very odd about the place.
Mm-hmm.
And we have never, ever determined exactly what was going on. The front door, and I had taken a level, and I checked the door the second time we were back to make sure it was plumb, and there was no problem. They weren't sliding hinges. And you'd open the door. It would, like, stay there for a second. And then, like, a hand gently pushed it shut. And we thought at first there's a vacuum in the house. So we opened windows in the other part of the house. Same thing. Absolutely the same thing. So we were never sure about what occurred here. So this is one of the visitations we paid. And found some interesting, not only spirit with EVP, but also other phenomena that's just not from the spirit world. And that gave us the first, shall we say, it gave us something to sink our teeth into as that, hey, we're on a journey, and we don't know as much as we thought we did about that journey.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think that this phenomena is from the spirit world?
No, ma'am. That the gong sounds had nothing to do with the spirit world. It was determined scientifically where it came from.
Oh, I see. Hmm.
So there's just no
question. They're picking up other things, other energy forms.
Right.
That exist. Well, there is such a thing as the electromagnetic spectrum, and those extremely low-frequency
right.
vibrations
will
right. be somewhere on the electromagnetic spectrum, just as we believe that that spirit exists somewhere on the
right.
electromagnetic spectrum, because we're all part of it, you know? So, I mean, I do think that this EVP is fascinating. Another thing I want to bring up to you, John, I don't know if you have a machine that can read MP3 files.
Yes.
Do you? You do.
Yes.
Well, then I want to put this test to you sometime, because the minister at the Spiritualist Church told me that we have a group of people standing by on the other side that are giving messages simultaneous to our airing of the show. So I'd like to send you a couple sample files sometime.
Sure.
And see what you can make, if you can make sense of it, because he told me that at the very least there was white noise going on, and it might have something to do with the music that's being produced on the show.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking, like John Lennon and George Harrison, who frequently
channel.
Now,
white noise theory is very interesting, and the reason I say it is some people think it's a necessity, and other people don't. We've tried different white noise background, from a radio off kilter, very low, a little fan running, and it doesn't seem to make a difference. But Patty and I have gone to several houses in which we found various things. And I'll tell you, you know, when you think you've got it down pretty pat, all of a sudden somebody throws you a curveball.
Yeah.
We had gone to a place that was a duplex, side by side. And the lady on the left side said, you know, we have this poltergeist. It's here all the time. And again, we go into our same thing again. Patty does hers. I do mine. I'm talking to the lady. And I remember that there was a woman who came through who kept saying, please tell him to thank, and I forget the name, okay? And she gave the name. And she says, I'm sorry. And so finally, I looked at the young man who was there, I guess it was her boyfriend, who was not supposed to be there that day. And I said, do you understand? And he says, yes. He says, the lady that's coming through was my best friend's girlfriend. She should thank him. He's taking care of her three kids now that she's gone.
Hmm.
And I guess she didn't treat him very well while he was here.
Hmm.
So we're talking about this, et cetera. And I'm saying to him, I said, why do I feel very, very uneasy in your vibration? I said, I feel like I need to throw up a wall. And I said, I'm not one to throw up a you know, white light or anything else, because I know my guides and teachers treat me properly wherever I go. And he said, well, he says, I was in a Satanist cult for the longest time.
Oh, my God.
And I still practice.
Oh, my God. You actually met someone that's into that level of darkness?
Yeah, listen, this was a young fellow, probably in his early 20s.
Oh, he's greatly misled, isn't he?
Well, shall we say he's having his moments, for a better word than that.
Well,
but what I thought was extremely interesting was the fact that when we went on our jaunt upstairs, we found several things. First of all, we could hear on the tape after the fact somebody walking in high heels. No one there had high heels on. Everybody had flats. Second, we found that when Patty would ask the question, what's your name? And the lady said, Robin. And when she asked a very simple question, how did you die? She said, in the bathtub. Now, we weren't sure what she meant by that, whether she had a heart attack in the bathtub or what. I didn't find anything on record with the papers that would indicate there was a murder or anything there. But we had too many things that were kind of screwy, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
One of the EVPs that came on was a gentleman's voice. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Kill him. And we were kind of concerned with this.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've never heard that before in any of the investigations. So one thing led to another. When we played it back, I kept on thinking to myself, somebody there must know more.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman told me about the lady next door. It lived there since her birth. And the woman now was in her 80s. So I contacted the lady, and I asked her some questions about, you know, the house, et cetera. I said, do you know of anyone who was a nasty person, for a better word? Oh, the man that used to live in this house, when they built that house next door, he went and moved with his in-laws, whoever they were. And she says, oh, he was a nasty, nasty man. And so he's still apparently frequenting the place, and doesn't like the fact that anyone else is there. The final coup de grace, to say the least, was a picture that was taken outside the house. And if you look up into the third floor, the attic part of the house, there's a picture of a child there. So spirit is around there. For what reason? We're not quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, these are people bringing in a lower spirit energy, to say the least. Now, I don't believe in the devil, and I'm not really interested in those who do. If they'd like to, by all means. But what I'm finding is, very simply, that people attract to them what they want.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking, though, in the case of this person that's into the satanic rituals, they're attracting a lot of negative entities probably from the other side of similar vibrations. So that's what I meant by being greatly misled, because I don't buy into the devil idea much either.
Right.
There is a certain, you know, evidence,
yep,
for evil in this world, and even in the spirit realms, there's evil. So, you know, that's what I meant by being misled. But, yeah, that could account for some of the stuff that was going on there. Was there a tape that you were going to try and play for us with some EVP on it?
No, I've got one here, and I don't know how well I can get it up to play. But
okay.
This is Reverend Brian Kent, and he's one of the members of our church. He and his wife do a lot of EVP. She's a clairvoyant. And what they did one day is, all of a sudden, she's at home, and she's got this little dinky tape recorder, digital. And she said, you know, she said, I lost a child just before birth. I wonder if they truly go on to the spirit side of life. So she asked this question, put the recorder on her side of the bed, and let it there for 5 minutes. And we're going to see if we can get a little bit of something out of this, and hopefully your listeners can hear it through the phone. So we're going to give it a go, okay?
All right. Let's hear what Spirit had to say here. We'll see if we can hear it.
I don't know about you, but I got to back this up a wee bit more. It's
because I heard something else, but I couldn't make it out. Yeah,
yep.
Go ahead and find your spot, John.
So it was very, very close. So it sounds like an adult voice, Perry. And we feel that that's true. This is official. Then it says, I love you. You can hear it. You can actually hear it say that. And there's no mistaking. And we think there's the interlude of Perry indicating that it was her spirit baby that came through. It's not an indication of who that person was. So I'll play this twice. So if you hear it through, then when you hear it a second time, you can pick it up even better.
All right.
I don't know about you, but... Did you get that?
I couldn't hear it very well enough to, you know,
right,
to make out any words. What did you think it said?
Well, it said Perry. Now, Perry was, that was the first one that came through that day. Perry was her aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And she had taken care of her aunt prior to her death.
Uh-huh.
And Perry came through with the name Perry, I love you. Then after this, see, this should have been put on some MP3s or something, because you could hear it much clearer when they get to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And the children come through and very simply say, you know, we are here, we love you. And not only did her child come through, but she called her husband after she listened to it, and she was just ecstatic. He said, well, my first wife, lost a child in spirit. Let's see what happens. So he said he had never talked to her about his ex-wife and the child they lost. And so consequently, when she put it on his side, a young man came through. Daddy, we are here. I love you. And it was a boy's voice where hers was a girl's.
Wow.
So,
I mean,
it's very clear when you hear it through the phone. It's really not the best thing in the world. But what you
Let's
find...
Let's give it a go.
What's
Let's
that?
Give it a go.
Give it a go, huh?
If you can.
Well, let's see what we can do here. Nope, can't do this one.
Can't do, okay.
Can't do this one.
Well, what, that's
I can do, what I can do is, let's talk a little bit about trumpet for a moment.
Oh, sure.
Trumpet is looks like a megaphone. When you have a trumpet medium, you sit in a circle in a room. It's usually dark or fairly dark. And this instrument, which is called a trumpet, looks like a megaphone, levitates, comes over to you, and you speak to the deceased one-on-one. What is actually occurring is the ectoplasm from the medium mm-hmm. and the sitters. Because especially when you talk to someone, you'll feel a pull on your solar plexus. And it'll be a very distinct pull, as if you had something inside you pulling towards the exterior. And as you're doing so, you talk to them one-on-one. Now, I don't know how you feel about, you know, discussing this with the whole bunch of people in the room. And like I used to say to people, if you don't want something mentioned, don't even think it. Because don't forget, spirit uses your thoughts as a means of communication, thought transference. I'd originally sat with this trumpet medium, oh, I think it was 1980. And for about 10 years, I would go up and sit with him. I've taken classes I had in the Brockton Church. We all sat in trumpet. And I've had some very, very distinct communication. When I had sat down at my shop one day, and I got thinking about my real dad, whom I never knew, and I said very simply, you know, Dad, did you ever care? Did you ever think about me afterwards? Did you ever realize that you had a real son here? Which I understood he knew. And, you know, basically I was feeling kind of, I guess, sorry for myself. I had a stepdad as a kid. We didn't get along. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, this could have been so much better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as I did so, I found that, you know, at first it's idle thought. Well, 2 weeks later, I'm up sitting in the trumpet seance. And he came in. And he talked to me. And he basically dealt with the question that I had asked 2 weeks before sitting on my workbench having lunch.
Wow.
He said, I never did anything for you while I was here. I love you very much, was which question one, and I'm doing all I can for you now.
And you heard that through the trumpet.
Oh, I got it on tape.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, I've got about 25 tapes of this. Oh, no,
that's
really
interesting.
Tapes,
you know,
different people.
I've never experienced the trumpet. They have one at the church, but it's not something they regularly do. So I don't know, you know, when they'll have an opportunity to use that. I know the guy that did the reading for me, this Patrick guy, he used it all the time. He was a well-renowned medium, but he was not a minister. So
right,
he just left that church, you know.
Well, you don't have to be a minister to be a medium. That's
uh-huh.
for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
But
well, that is fascinating, and it's really been interesting sharing with you. I'd be interested in sending you some of the MP3 files of the
sure.
show
sure.
with the idea that maybe some of your instruments can detect. Some of those people I feel are standing by in spirit and have a vested interest in the success of my show, such
sure.
as Diana or John Lennon. And these are my guides, too.
Right.
Well, not only do I channel them, but they are my personal spirit guides, which I'm very honored to have them as guides. They weren't always my spirit guides, as you know. Spirit
right.
guides can change over time as you
right.
continue to evolve and mature spiritually.
Right.
So, you know, it's very interesting. I think that you're off to something that I wouldn't normally be into, which is the proving of spirit. But
right.
I think that there are so many manifestations of spirit, as I'm finding out, and there's so many ways to prove it. One thing I wanted to ask you about that I have not directly experienced, but I know the Spiritualist Church talks about it, is the gift of apports, or actual physical things coming through from the spirit realm, and whether you had any experience with the apports.
I have not had experience with the apports.
Mm-hmm.
The most experience I've had in anything was initially when I started in, I think it was 81 or 82, I happened to find a medium who was a physical phenomena medium, and this, for trumpet, et cetera, you need that phenomena. You need to have that capability of the physical body, because that's all physical. And he was, in fact, one who would not do apports, but would do materialization. And when I sat in one circle with this man, I had a guide materialize. He was the medium was in the cabinet. It's nothing more than a cloth area. You could see what looks like a trail of smoke coming from the cabinet out to the sitters. As it comes in front of you, it all of a sudden starts to stand tall, like go straight up, and then starts forming an individual.
Wow.
One of the guys I had was formed, and as I looked at him, the thing that I noticed clearly was he was formed just about to the waist, and the balance of the base was just that ectoplasm, basically. As I was there talking to him, and I don't care how many times you do this, I mean, I was just, you know, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
No.
And I was speaking
really
to the man, and he said, "You have a picture of me," which I had. I had a drawing done by a lady from England who was a spirit drawing artist, and she had drawn this gentleman. And he says, "It is not a bad likeness, is it?" And I says, "No, it's very good, as a matter of fact." And he said, "And you know," he said, "you've always said that if you met spirit, you'd like to shake their hand. Take my hand."
Wow.
And I reached out to take his hand, and the only thing I could tell you, it was cool, not cold, cool. It had no bone structure,
mm-hmm.
not one single bit.
Yeah.
And I shook his hand, and I was just, you know, you're in awe. That's the word I have. You're in absolute awe. This is done in red light with the materialization, so you get used to the lighting there very well, and you can see everything.
That is awesome, John.
That was,
now,
I'd have loved to met this man again, because this was probably the most awakening part of my introduction to spirit that could ever take place.
Well, you know, when they first had that seance at the Spiritualist Church, when they found out that I had been channeling and writing a book with Princess Di, I read some of the message. We gathered in the seance room, and this guy, Patrick, wanted to bring forth, have Princess Diana materialize, and everyone was going, yeah, let's do it, and they were chanting like that, but some people got freaked out. Some immature people were there, and it kind of, it didn't go, of course. We didn't get to see her materialize, but that would be thrilling to see.
No,
her
that's
after
that
doing this work with her for 7 years, I'll tell you. That's phenomenal, John. That is absolutely phenomenal. You know, I want to mention a movie that I saw that relates to that, and then we're going to have to go because we're really at the end of our time here. But did you see the movie The Illusionist?
No, I did not.
It's about a guy that practices spiritualism, I believe, and brings people into complete materialization.
Yeah.
And he gets into a lot of trouble with it. It was being done in Romania somewhere. I don't know if it's based on a true story, but it is just like watching spiritualism unfold. It's so phenomenal. But it's got a plot in it. There's a murder that happens, and then it's a fake murder, and he pretends to bring out the prince who supposedly murdered his wife, and then that isn't the case. It's all illusion. But it is phenomenal because he materializes spirit in front of audiences. So this is doing the same kind of thing.
Right.
I would give anything to meet Diana that way. That's phenomenal.
Yes.
So, you know, we should really stay in touch. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And before we sign out, I want to mention your website and your radio show as well. What is the name of the church that you're the minister of?
I'm the minister of the First Spiritualist Church of Springfield, Massachusetts.
Thank you. If I'm ever in Springfield, Massachusetts, I'm going to drop by.
Please do.
Yes. And so we encourage our listeners, if you're in Massachusetts and you want to really experience spirit, go ahead and visit the church. And John's website is www.beyondlife.net. We've been speaking with Reverend John Sullivan, and you can hear the replays of the shows at www.realoldies1250.com.
No, that's when you hear the show.
Oh, that's
you'll hear the replays
show.
On my website,
okay,
www.beyondlife.net.
Wonderful. Well, I'm certainly going to tune into your show when I can. We encourage all of our listeners to do the same. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. And good luck with your congregation and all the fine work that you're doing. That's very exciting stuff. Thank you again for sharing. We're going to close out with a beautiful song that's
sure.
been channeled in by Bob Murray. And we're going to close out with Remarkable Diana, written by John Lennon in honor of Princess Di, as channeled by Bob Murray at The Stars Still Shine. And we also encourage you to visit my website at dianaspeakstotheworld.com, where you can read Diana's latest messages. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.